Today, this is the concluding lesson on our School of Prophecy Part 3. This is the third summer that we've done this series, and today is the fifth and concluding lesson in this sermon series on the School of Prophecy. And today, I want to talk to you about the coming glory. Now, I want to share Matthew 24:3, because in Matthew 24:3, the disciples asked the question, "What is going to be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" Now, at the end of the age, it is prophesied in God's word that there will be increasing displays of God's glory. Now, there were displays of God's glory throughout the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. When Jesus learned of Lazarus being sick, he said its purpose was not for death, but the purpose of that sickness was for the glory of God. And then, of course, Jesus raised Lazarus out of the tomb. When Stephen, the first martyr recorded in Scripture, Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was martyred in Acts 7, he looked up, and the Scripture says that he saw the glory of God. Now, Scripture declares that at the final end, the glory of God will be fully manifested and restored throughout the earth. So, I want to talk to you for a few minutes today of the coming glory. All right, so when the disciples asked the question, and Matthew 24:3, tell us, what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? But I want to share it with you in Young's literal translation. Now, Dr. Robert Young is the guy that gave us Young's analytical concordance. He also gave us a translation of the Scriptures that is called Young's literal translation. So in Young's literal translation of Matthew 24:3, there's a little bit of a word change to kind of reflect the Greek rendering. And I want to point it out to you. All right, so it says, and you have it on your notes, when he is sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came near to him by himself saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what is the sign of thy presence and the full end of the age?" All right, so you'll notice that the word, the sign of your coming, has been changed, translated as presence. What is the sign of your presence? This is a key principle to talk about the coming glory. All right, so then in John 2:11, first recorded miracle of Jesus is that at the wedding feast, he turned water into wine, right? So in John 2:11, it says, "This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." All right, so there was a manifestation of glory, and because of that manifestation, they were moved to faith. Do y'all see this? This is powerful stuff right here. He manifested his glory. So that's why I want to talk to you about the coming glory. Because at the end of the age, when it all begins to wrap up, we are going to see manifestation of glory. All right, so I want to just expound on some thoughts in reference to that today. And I'm going to run through this material rather rapidly because, you know, our 10:30 service, and we have to get ready for the 10:30 crowd coming in. So I have to release you about 5 after 10 max. So I'm going to rapid fire this stuff and just kind of make some expositions along the way. But first of all, number one, The word coming in Matthew 24:3, it is this Greek word parousia. It means the nearness of his presence. All right, so that's why Dr. Robert Young made a change of the wording there. So rather than what is the sign of thy coming, he said, what is the sign of your presence? Because the word parousia means the nearness of his presence. It means his revealing presence. So in essence, the disciples were asking for more than just the day of Christ's return. They were asking about the coming glory that had been foretold by the Old Testament prophets. All right, so we read this in Isaiah 40. Now remember when John the Baptist appeared on the scene, and he came preaching, and his message, some of the first things that he said was taken from Isaiah chapter 40, when he said, I am the voice. Because remember, they wanted to know, who are you? He said, I am not him. He said, but I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And then he went in and he quoted Isaiah chapter 40. He quoted these verses. But I want you to notice in that fifth verse, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That, my friends, is what the disciples wanted to know about. When is that going to happen? Then in Daniel 7, Daniel's vision, he says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. First chapter of Revelation, Revelation 1:7, it says, behold, he comes with clouds. Every eye is going to see him. Every eye is going to see him. The Bible says there's coming a day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. That day is coming. Notice the similarity. He had this vision. He saw one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. That's God sitting on his throne. And they brought him near before him. Then to him, that's to Christ, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Hallelujah. There is coming a highway for the glory of God. Do you know how amazing the interstate system is in the United States of America? I just took a trip to Fayetteville, Arkansas last week for our annual ministers' conference, and I decided to drive it. Becky's always telling me, why don't you get on a plane and go and save time, and you know, and I quote my father-in-law, I feel most comfortable when I'm driving on the interstate. He loved to get in his Crown Vic and hit the, he loved a road trip. And I guess maybe I've taken that from him. I love a road trip. Man, I could get in our car or my truck, and man, I could go hit Route 66. Y'all know Route 66? Famous. Before they had the interstate system, right? But the interstate is such an amazing thing. And just to get on there, and every time I get on the interstate, never fails, I will come to some section of highway that's barricaded off. And it'll go on for miles, and then traffic is backed up. And then, you know, they got signs, there's road work, and then you go all those miles, and then you get to the end of the barrel where it lets you back onto the lane, and you never saw one worker. And you always wonder, why couldn't I have used that highway? But my friend, there's coming a day where the highway of the Lord is going to take over. I mean, it's going to take place. The highway for the glory of God. That's exactly what Isaiah is prophesying. Daniel understood it as well. There is a coming. When is your presence going to manifest? Now, we know there is going to be an ultimate manifestation an ultimate revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine the horror of all of the Christ rejectors, all of those who had opportunity, all of those who maybe sat under the preaching of the gospel, maybe many that were raised in church? Could you imagine the regret that they are going to experience in that day? Because then it's over. The moment of repentance is over. The moment of salvation is over. And they will have to live throughout eternity separated from the presence of God. Thank God that hell was not created for human beings. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. The Bible says that. God has made a way of escape for every person. And it's only found through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know him, my friends? Do you know him? You can't just know about him. You have to know him. The disciples wanted to know, when is that day coming? When are we going to see the sign of your presence? Let me move on. Number two, second thing. See, the glory of God personifies God himself. It's important that we understand this glory. Some of you may be familiar with what is called the Romans Road. The Romans Road is just a little road map through the book of Romans that picks several scriptures that are used in evangelism and leading someone to Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that all have sinned. It's Romans 3:23. All have sinned. I think it's Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All right, so what is the glory? It's his presence. All right, number two, it's God himself. The glory of God personifies who God is. The glory of God is the beauty of his presence that emanates out of the very character and nature of who God is. It is the light and the holy aura that radiates from his throne. Because of man's sinfulness, all of humanity falls short of the glory of God. Are y'all with me? Separated from his presence. That's why people are lost. Because they don't have any God consciousness. They don't have any experience of his presence. They're bound by sin. And it's only when Jesus Christ comes in and delivers us and brings us into the freedom and liberty of children of God that things change. See, the glory of God is who he is, his very nature, his very presence. His throne emanates his glory, his character, his holiness. Consider this. Angelic creatures in Revelation 4:8. A Bible says the four living creatures, each having six wings. Now think of this, man. This is an amazing description. Six wings full of eyes around and within. I think that's how wives are over their husbands. Right? They always on guard. Come on, somebody. Amen. They're always on guard. Eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Think of that. These angels are perpetually around God's throne. And they are so engaged in beholding his splendor that they never get bored. Think of it. I mean, this is the incredibleness of God and the person of God. They never get bored. They constantly cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." Throughout eternity, they are catching a fresh glimpse of his character and his nature. Then we read this in Isaiah 6, another angelic example. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. The glory. See, it's the very nature of God. I love what the Apostle John said in the first epistle of John. When he said in chapter 3, he said, "Behold, now are we the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him." And then he adds this little footnote, "For we shall see him as he is." Do you know what that means? That means you are going to be able to see. On this side of heaven, you can't see it. But on the other side, in the spiritual realm, you'll be able to see it. You will catch a revelation like you have never known. See, God knows you and I through and through. He knows every thought we don't think. Every thought we don't think about. He knows everything about you. Every word, every action, every attitude, every reflection. He sees it all. He knows it all. Nobody knows you like God knows you. He knows everything about you. The Bible teaches us that in that day, we will also have that kind of revelation, that kind of insight. And we will be able to see into the very nature and character of God. This is why the angels say, "Holy, holy, holy," because they are glimpsing, they are catching it on a continuous basis, moment after moment. And they're in the realm of eternity. And they are catching glimpses of it. And that's why they never get bored. Holy, holy, holy. They keep seeing his nature, his character, his goodness, his grace. And it just overwhelms them. Think of it, my friends. What a day that is going to be. His glory. See, it's his glory. Let's move on. Here's a third thing to consider in defining his glory. See, the Hebrew word for glory is kabod. It means the weight of something. Scientifically, it would be the mass of an object of matter. It is the substance of a person or thing. Now, as concerning God, it is who he is, his character, and his power. See, his glory demonstrates the very characteristic of righteousness. And purity, and holiness, and eternity, and all of those things. Because God inhabits, the Bible says he inhabits all of eternity. So it's, you know, it's the weight. You know, think of a move of God. You know, when they went to apprehend Jesus Christ, and the Roman soldiers came to arrest him. And all of a sudden, something happened to them, and they fell to the ground. You know what happened? The glory. It was the kabod. They were coming to arrest him, but they couldn't function in it. You can go into the Old Testament. Solomon dedicates the temple. And the Bible says that the priest could not even minister in the temple because of what had filled it. Guess what? It was the kabod. It was that weightiness. It was the substance of the person of God, his character, his nature, his power. See, Moses, he wanted to see the glory of God. Moses requested, "I want to see your glory." Let's visit that, Exodus 33 on your notes. So Moses says, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, God said, "I will make all of my goodness pass before you." Now, why did he say goodness? Because remember, glory is who he is. It's his nature. It's his character. It's his honor. It's his integrity. Amen? It's who God is. So the connection is, okay, I'm gonna let you see my goodness. Because his goodness is his glory. The glory is his goodness. It's all interchangeable. So he said, "I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." And God says, "I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, Here is a place by me. I love this because that's exactly God's invitation. He wants to make his dwelling place and his habitation with you and I. So he says, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. The rock. Who's the rock? Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so much symbolism in this. We don't have time to teach it all today, but it's so incredible. He goes on and he says, and it shall be, so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Because no man can see God and live. No man could receive a revelation of God and live. Only one man. And that brings us to number four. Jesus Christ. That's why he is exclusive. That's why there is no other way to heaven. I don't care what media people say. I don't care what talk show hosts say. I don't care what money people say. They're dumb. Because they don't have revelation. They don't have insight. They are in darkness. Don't listen to that. My friends, don't listen to that. Doctors, there are doctors that will say, all religions lead to God. Don't listen to that. Jesus Christ is exclusive. No man gets in only through him. Consider this. Number four, Jesus Christ is the revelation of the glory of God. Every sign, every wonder, every miracle that Jesus did was a manifestation of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is an incredible verse of scripture, because it is through the person of Jesus that God the Father, the Ancient of Days, that Daniel described, gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. But notice what he says, in the face. Are y'all with me? Do you see it? God told Moses, you can't see my face. Right here, God says, I'm going to give you my face. Do y'all see this? Wow. What an incredible revelation. And that's why we must teach Jesus. That's why we preach Jesus. That's why we glorify Jesus. When we come into the house of God, it should be to praise the name that is above every name. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts. And he has brought us into the knowledge of the glory in the very face of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3, I didn't have this one on the notes, but bear with me. I want to give it to you today. You can add it. You can write it down. Listen to what this says in Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 3. Incredible verse of scripture. It says, who being, in verse 2 it says, in these last days he has spoken to us, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of what? His glory. Hallelujah. His glory. And the express what? Image of his person. Do you see the connection? Glory connected to character. Hallelujah. He said he is the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the express image. The word image is the Greek word character, from which we get the English word character. Jesus Christ is the very character of God himself. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus is so awesome. He's so incredible. God commanded light to shine out of darkness. He's shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And he's done it in the face of Jesus Christ. So the disciples on the Olivet Discourse, they wanted to know, when is the sign of your presence? When is the glory going to be manifested? That's what they wanted to know. They were not so much asking about the calendar day of when it would happen. They wanted to know, when are we going to see the restoration? That brings us to number five. Number five says, the earth is full of the glory of God, but most people don't know it yet. That's why the world is lost. That's why you can't listen to culture. They're deceived. You can't listen to media. They're deceived. The only people who are not deceived are born again people that know the Word of God. And they are walking in the Word of God. And they are living according to 2 Corinthians 4:6. They are living in light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The earth is full of the glory of God. But most people don't know it. The psalmist David said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He understood it, but the earth is in rebellion. Sin is in this world. Evil is in this world. But there's coming a day, my friends, when it will not be so. The time is coming when the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth. Isaiah talked about it, Isaiah 45. He said, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. They understood these prophecies. So that's why on the Mount of Olives, what is the sign of your presence and the end of the age? Then Habakkuk said it this way. He said, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. What is the sign of thy presence? The parousia. When are we going to see the glory? He did a miracle and manifested glory. I believe in the days ahead, we are going to see miracles. Miracles of healing. Miracles of salvation. I believe we're going to see it. I believe we're going to see incredible things happen before Jesus comes back to set it right. Number six, see, that brings me to this one, because the word filled. He said the earth will be filled with the knowledge. The word filled means to saturate to the point of overflowing. There is coming a saturation of God's glory that will touch people with an intimate knowledge of his love and his power. A saturation point. There is coming a move of God that is going to make the devil sick to his stomach. He's going to need Tums and Rolaids and whatever other antacid they may have out there. Because there is a move of God that is coming, my friends. There is a revelation of glory that is coming. There is a saturation point that is coming in the days ahead. Because prior to the second coming of Christ, the disciples wanted to know, when is the sign of your presence? When are we going to see that manifestation of glory? That's what they were concerned about. That's what they were looking for. There is coming a saturation point, my God, my friend, where the power of God, the anointing of God, is going to be released. I believe we're going to see a move of God in these last days where there is going to be an influx of a world harvest. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. When we talked about the preaching, the one of the last day signs, preaching of the gospel. We talked about the 1040 window. The most unreached people group of the entire world is in that 1040 window. And all of the billions of people that live there, unreached with the gospel. But all of the inroads, all of the ministries that are making inroads into those areas. I was with a lot of minister friends last week in our annual ministers conference as we got to kind of hang out with Dr. Mark Rutland. Dr. Mark Rutland was the university president for Oral Roberts University. He has his own ministry now. And just a great, great guy. and a very humble man. But oh, man, written all kind of books. And if you want to get some good books, get some of Mark Rutland's books. I mean, man, it is good, good stuff. Great man of God. But we were kind of talking about things going on around the world. And we had our presbyters meeting, and we got a leadership change in our organization. Our chairman for the last 10 years is, you know, he's stepping down. And he's 75 years old, and he's just wanting to pass it on. So we got a new chairman for our ministers organization. And you know, the focus is church planning and missions work. That's the focus: church planning and missions work. And I've got all kind. Every time I go to these conferences, I got all kind of invitations to come here, go there. I got an invitation to go down to Honduras. I got an invitation to go back to Uganda. Got an invitation to go to Peru. Got an invitation to go here. Got an invitation to go there. But it all costs a lot of money, and I like to stay here to preach to y'all. No place I'd rather be than right here with you guys. But everybody should go on a missions trip. And I'll probably go to Uganda next year. And just incredible, the things that are happening. Opportunity to Egypt. Just incredible things that are happening. The worldwide preaching and people that are just responding. I mean, Muslims are being saved. Hindus are being saved. I mean, there is, my friend, manifestations of glory that are taking place around the world. But I don't believe we've seen the climax of it. We're only seeing shades here and shades there. But it's coming. There's a saturation point that's coming. That is what the disciples were asking. What is the sign of your presence? When are we going to see the glory of God? They saw it in the book of Acts. They experienced it in the book of Acts. But then we go over to the book of James, and James said, are y'all ready for this? I got so much. I could preach this stuff for hours. James said, the glory of the latter is going to be more powerful than the glory of the former. In other words, the end times glory, sign of thy presence that they were asking about, is going to be so much more intense than even what they witnessed in the book of Acts. It's coming. It's coming. Let's not just focus on the Antichrist, old funky Antichrist. He's going to make his appearance and do what he's got to do, but it's going to be very short-lived. And the Bible says that he'll be, are y'all ready for this? He's going to be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. What is that? Glory. 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 It's consuming. Here's a seventh and final thing. And we're going to take communion at the conclusion here. In consideration of the disciples' question, what is the sign of thy presence? It seems that they were expecting, based upon their understanding of Old Testament prophecies, they were expecting a manifestation of the Lord's glory and power that would precede the calendar day of Christ's actual return. How many of you know that God the Father has a daily planner? He has his own calendar. You know, the psalmist understood something about that, because in Psalms 139, he said, all my days are written in your book. He said, all my days are written in your book when I did not even understand any of them. God knows the moment of our appearing in this world. He knows the moment of our exit from this world. God's calendar, I believe, is filled with breakthroughs and miracles and divine interventions. But think of this. Jesus looked out over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you stoned the prophets, you killed the messengers, because you did not know the time of your visitation. I don't know if that does anything to you, but it does something to me. I don't want to miss my time on God's calendar. I don't want West Point Church to miss its time on God's calendar. Because he's got the day of Christ's return is recorded on God's calendar. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. He said, the angels don't know. He said, neither does the Son know. He said, but the Father knows. Now, he spoke that as the Son of Man. Now, as the Son of God at the right hand, they're one. He knows what's going on. He knows when it's coming. But when he was the Son of Man before the cross, he didn't have that knowledge. He's got that knowledge now. Because I only do what the Father, what I've seen the Father do. All that the Father gives me is going to come to me. You know, everything the Father says is going to happen. So in consideration of the question, what is the sign of thy presence? They were expecting, according to God's calendar, there was going to be a manifestation. Peter alluded to it right here. And we're going to conclude with these two last passages in 2 Peter and Psalms 24. He says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. Y'all see the glory? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. Notice verse 19. And so, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. I wish I had time to really teach this, these verses, because this is, man, this is just loaded. It is just loaded with some incredible truth. But I want to draw your attention to that 19th verse, that we have the prophetic word confirmed. The coming glory. They understood it. My friends, there is going to be a move of God in the last days that's going to make the devil sick to his stomach. He might need a double dose of Tums. Because I'm telling you, there's a move of God that is coming. I love Psalms 24, verse 7 to 10. He says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of, notice, glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah.